Join Kenneth Copeland and Creflo Dollar as they reveal that God's people are to prosper, increase, and flourish in the middle of hard economic times as a demonstration of God's blessing. Next, here on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Welcome, everybody, to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Join me again today in welcoming Creflo Dollar to this broadcast.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, boy, this has been a week, man.
Yes, sir, it
has. Glory to God, have I enjoyed this. I got enough stuff out of that broadcast yesterday to preach for another month, man. Praise the Lord. Let's go to what you and I were just talking about before we turned the cameras on. Psalms 112. This is God's profile of a blessed, prosperous man or woman of God in the middle of bad tidings, bad news, enemies, the wicked grieved at him, gnashing with their teeth, and the wicked having great desire for his destruction. And how do you prosper in the middle of all that? Not only that, but it points out the fact that this is a man whose house is filled with wealth and riches. He's got a house and it's filled with wealth and riches, but in the same verse it says his righteousness endureth forever. So this is a man that has a house filled with wealth, filled with riches, and enduring righteousness all at the same time. Now, religion told us for centuries that that couldn't possibly happen. But God's still telling us how.
Yeah.
Father, we pray over this
today in Jesus' name.
And we receive it and we thank you for it. Amen.
It is then obvious, based on what we studied this week, Isaiah 60, that God has planned for the righteous to prosper in the midst of darkness and in the midst of hard times. We are the Goshen of the day.
That's right.
And those who are in Egypt, come on over to Goshen. Because in Goshen, people are still multiplying. They're still increasing. They're still becoming great. Now, Psalms 112 then begins to talk about the prosperity of the righteous. And please understand, when we talk about prosperity, this is the development. When prosperity was spoken of in times past, it was just understood to be talking about materials and money. That's just a part of it.
Well, it's a big part, but it's no way near the most important part.
No, you cannot define prosperity by just materials.
No, but it will affect all the parts.
Yes. Yes.
That's what's so important.
Yes. And our development has brought us to a point where we understand the wholeness part of prosperity, the part that the blessing now begins to affect every arena, spirit, soul, body, family, and finances. Everything is encompassed in that. And so this begins to instruct us and to show us how to walk this out. It starts off, praise ye the Lord. Blessed. Now, before we go any further, again, that's worth reviewing something. Blessed. That is, I like to define it like this. That is an old covenant way of saying anointed. That is saying I am empowered by God to have success in every arena of my life. I am blessed. I am connected to the blessing. Now, it is an interesting thing to note. That when I bring my tithe to my high priest and he confers on me the blessing, that I still have to do my part because he's my high priest. He's also the high priest over my profession or my confession.
Sure.
So I need to be responsible for understanding my part to operate in faith and call those things that be not as though they were and to make those confession because he's high priest over my profession. So the power bill has been paid, but I still got to go turn the light switch on.
Oh, that's good, man.
And so he says, blessed is the man that reverences God, that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandment. He delights in his commandments because I think you said this. I know you did. These are love letters from God.
They are.
Trying to expose the traps that are around us. Then he says, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed.
Now, because of him, a whole generation here is being
blessed. Yeah, yeah.
You know, Creflo, when God, we misunderstood this. I didn't understand it until the Holy Spirit brought my attention to it and unraveled it for me. That scripture where God said to Abraham, I'll bless those that bless you and I'll curse those that curse you. A lot of people quote that and don't really grasp what he's talking about, because he is saying those that will help you bring blessing to this earth, I will bless them with equal blessing that's on you. But those that try to stop the blessing by stopping you, I will stop them.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's what this is. Yeah. Here's a whole generation that's blessed. Why? Because they're helping this man to bless. Oh, my goodness, look around you. It's time for blessing. Somebody has to be blessed in all this.
Praise God. I'm going to make sure I'm right in the middle of that.
Yeah, too. Me too.
But it also works for the guy that, you know, the guy that's blessed. If you will, see, when I help you extend that blessing out to your assignment, and you assist me in extending that blessing out to my assignment, I am even more empowered.
Oh, yeah.
To get that blessing out and to achieve and accomplish my assignment.
Supernatural multiplication.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Not natural multiplication. Mm-hmm. Supernatural multiplication. Mm-hmm. Where 2 times 2 is not 4. 2 times 2 is 10,000.
Yeah, yeah. That's the
Whoa.
Blessing arithmetic right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, man. I'm like, yeah. Hallelujah.
And if the world, if the world could ever get a hold of understanding, if they can connect with the blessing, that everything would change. God will confer upon them an empowerment to prosper. Oh, follow me here. I got this thing in my spirit. A nation that blesses God, a nation that blesses the people of God, will be blessed.
No question.
We got to quit being mad at our churches and mistreating them and talking bad about them. Bless them. Because when you bless those who are blessed, God confers that blessing on you and what you're doing. What you said is in its exactness. That's exactly what God is saying, but he will make it so evident in these last days that the people who are blessed, trace it. They'll be connected with somebody that's blessed. And the people that are having a hard time, trace it. They did something to go against or to prevent the spread of that blessing throughout the earth. And so,
whether they knew it or not.
Well, yeah.
You can get over in a system that cares less whether God's here or not. Well, who needs him? You get over in that system, whether you know it or not, you're going to get the results of the system.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I liken him to a man that built his house on the sand. He didn't say, I liken him to a fool. Mm-hmm. He didn't say he was a fool, but he acted like a fool. He get a fool's results.
Yeah. That's exactly where we are right now.
That's where we are.
And my prayer has been, I have been praying this, that there will be such a revival amongst our leaders in government, amongst our heads of corporations, and that there will be an awakening amongst people who know better, but have just stepped away from this thing and have not been operating in it because of fear and other things that have happened in their presence. I don't want to see this intimate, wonderful relationship with God be watered down to fit government. I want government to understand and learn how to fit into the things of God and then be blessed by the things of God. Now, that's a whole big argument in itself. But at the same time, once you realize where your blessings are coming from, we are a blessed nation because we impacted Israel and that blessing came on our lives. Well, we can continue to operate in those blessings if we'll recognize that the blessing and the connections to those blessings reside right here in our own nation and in our own country. Mm-hmm. And so the scripture says that this guy, there is the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. So what is he talking about? Prosperity, welfare in the house of the blessed, and in the house of the one that enables the one that's blessed. Prosperity, wealth, riches in his house. Now, I love how he follows through with this to really help us to understand how to position ourselves. Unto the upright, there arises enlightenment.
Oh, man, yeah.
In the darkness.
Rise and shine.
In the darkness.
Oh, brother.
In the darkness. He is gracious. He's full of compassion. And he's righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He'll guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Let's pause right there. Do not be afraid of evil tidings. Don't let the bad news inflict fear upon you. Because when you get afraid, when you operate and allow fear to come in, you have just permitted Satan to get involved in your life, and he will reap havoc. He cannot do anything. He's paralyzed when there is no fear. But when a man is afraid, he immediately grants a permit for Satan to enter in and to begin to do his thing in their lives.
The devil's the spirit of fear, Scripture says he is.
Yeah.
So fear would have to connect you to the spirit of fear.
Sure.
Well, faith would have to connect you to the spirit of faith.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
Well, it doesn't say he's trying not to be moved. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say that he's trying not to be afraid. Mm-hmm. It says he shall not.
Shall not. I will not. His heart's fixed. His heart's fixed. Mm-hmm. He's trusting mm-hmm. God. His heart's fixed. See, in the time of great commotion, like what the nation's going through right now, your heart will either get fixed on the words that produce fear, or your heart will get fixed on the things of God. You're gonna trust God, or you're going to trust even your panic. I mean, panic is groundless fear. You begin to panic for things that hadn't even happened yet. The news says, well, 2,000 jobs were lost today. 10,000 were lost yesterday. And then you start panicking. Somebody say, what's wrong with you? Oh, I'm going to lose my job. Where'd you get that from? Did you get a memo? No, I just feel like, you know, they lost theirs, then they lost theirs, so maybe I'll lose mine. No, wait a minute, I'm trusting God. I trust God when I'm up. I trust God when I'm down. I'm like that tree. It can rain. It can sleet. It can snow. I'm going to be right here. I am trusting God. I'm not going to be moved by what I see. I'm not going to be moved by what I hear. I trust God. There's something about saying that. When fear begins to knock on the door, you need to open it up. And the love of God and the trust that you have for God. I trust God. I trust God. Now, what if it doesn't work? I trust God. Well, what if you don't see anything? I trust God. That's a commitment, Brother Copeland.
Yes, it is.
That is a commitment to say that no matter what you report, what you do, what happens, what fail, it's not going to move me. I trust God. My heart is fixed on what? On trusting him and on what he has to say. Well, now, as a result of that, my confidence is through the roof. Not only do I trust God, not only am I committed to the things of God, but now I am operating in a praise of the future where I am praising God for what I know he's going to do. I've gone from I trust God to I know that I know that I know.
Yeah.
Now, these are the people now that God can do great exploits for because they know their God.
I've had the Lord say this to me. I've heard him in my spirit right in here. I just be mentally tore up or something. I can hear him say, how long have we been together? So many years, like now, 42 plus years. Well, don't you think that's long enough you can trust me in this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't you think you could trust me in this? Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord. But now, if if it's so strong, but if that is so strong in you that it is just got you by the ears and the eyes, then you've named your spot. This is job one for you. You have to get that out of there.
I call it having a flashback. You need to go back. You need to flashback and see what God has already done. That's a healthy thing to do.
Yeah, it
is. Look at what God has done for me 5 years ago. Look at how he delivered me 3 years ago. Look at when they said this was going to happen, and I stood on the word, and it didn't look like nothing was happening, but it happened. And notice, after all of this time, God has never failed you. He has never let you down. If he ever delivered you one time, if he ever met your need one time, if he ever paid a bill and you can't remember how you got the money one time, you got to know he'll do it again and again and again. Sometimes we've got to be cautious not to run away from our development opportunities and stand in that word and stand in faith until we develop above that situation's ability to hurt us. And I think it's kind of like the guy who said, well, here's what I'm going to do to have a better life. I'm going to get a new job. I'm going to get a new house. I'm going to get a new wife. The only problem is you there. You still there.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing going to change.
And it's the same old you.
Ain't nothing going to change because the same you there.
Ain't nothing going to change.
But when it changes.
You're going to dirty up another house and ruin another car and ruin another woman's life.
Woman.
You got to do something here with yourself.
Yeah. And getting your heart
Creflo
fixed.
That, man, I'm telling you, that's powerful.
Getting your heart fixed, trusting God. We need to probably hear more about trusting God and the commitment that's involved in trusting God.
There is a mechanism, is the best word I think of right now. There is a mechanism God built into the human spirit, soul, and body that is called trust. And he cannot live without it. You're trusting something, somebody, some way, some idea. You're trusting something all the time. You can't function with that. Well, I'll tell you this, God, I don't trust nobody or nothing. Yeah, you do. You trust in nobody or nothing. You can't. But you can't get out from under the fact that you can't live without trusting. But you can change in whom you place your trust. You can change in what you place your trust.
Right. And the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not into your understanding, your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll direct your path. Well, now, I've got to trust him in order for, I mean, directing my path, what is that going to do in the life of a person that won't trust God? He'll tell you to go left. You say, no, I don't know about that. I'm going to go right. He'll tell you to give this. Well, I don't know about that. It's a hard time right now. And so what we've got to begin, trust has got to be developed. It's got to be something.
Yes, it does.
It's got to be something that you develop by, first of all, getting in this word and meditating in this word. What a powerful thing, meditating in this word. But meditating in the word of God, because if any time fear is there, unbelief is there. So if you're going to deal with your fear, you're going to have to deal with your unbelief.
That's right.
And meditating in the word of God, getting that word on the inside of you, will begin to deal with that unbelief. Because what is that greatest fear that the enemy wants to put on us? It's the fear that what God said won't work.
I watched a documentary one time on airbags when they first put them in cars. And the guy that first tested one, they tested them all over the place, but them dummies, you know, that put in there. Ain't nobody ever done this before. And they built this wall out there, man. And he had to drive a car into that wall at 30 miles an hour. Now, do you want to go do that? Now, what did he have to do? He had to study this thing. He had to know. He did it. I mean, he drove it smack into that wall at 30 miles an hour. Boom, that thing come out. And he walked out of the car. He got cross-eyed a little bit. But he said, "Whew, that thing works." And I thought, dear Lord, you have to develop it. You have to go get what the dictionary says about the word trust. You have to look up the Hebrew word translated trust. You have to go look up the Greek word and find out what it is. Then you go get your concordance and you look up every scripture that has the word trust in it. And then you get you a study book and study Bible. I want to look up that Hebrew word. It may be translated something else, but it means trust. So I go look up that. And when you get through, you'll trust God.
Yes, yes, yes. And when you trust God, then you're going to know what it means to have wealth and riches in your house.
Oh,
and be
blessed, because Jesus said, if you're going to trust that, you ain't going to get any of it.
You know, even in our church, I appreciate all that leaders and government people are trying to do to attack the problem. But I'm not going to wait until something they're working on trickle down into my community. I've got the Word of God. I want to take the Word of God and put it into action. I got a way that we can make sure that these guys get jobs. I got a way, according to the Word, to make sure that, you know, you can get your bills paid. Mm-hmm. I want to take the kingdom of God and His way of doing things, implement it into a practical manner so that people who have needs can not only get their needs met, but understand that it's being met through God's way of doing things. Now, do it this way. And I can't. That's the success we're having. We've got people getting jobs where ain't no jobs are going on. I got companies that God's given us favor with, calling them up. They're saying, we got 500 here, and I started a job bank and telling people to come by every weekend, sign up, go. Let me teach you how to do an interview so you won't go in there with your rollers in your head and all this kind of stuff. It's working. It's working. Let me show you how to talk correct English so that you won't freak the guy out when you go in there and, you know, hey, what's up, man? What you say? It's so important that we exercise what we trust, then granting proof to the world that our God is a God that will produce in this world.
And it ought to be coming out of the church.
Yeah.
The government ain't even qualified to do this.
Yeah, you're right.
It should be coming out of churches.
Yep.
There was an incident that happened in Africa, devastated country of drought. They had people starving to death on the streets a number of years ago. I met a very successful pastor there, and he found out about faith. He started preaching faith and prosperity to his church, and it was against the law to own a Bible back there then. It's when the communist nations had first taken over in certain places in Africa. And he said, we've got a dry lake right behind the church. We're praying and believing God for rain, but we ain't even bothered to go out there and repair the levee around the thing, and it's got a hole in it. How could we do anything if God did rain in here? Mm-hmm. So they got busy, and when the people called them crazy and everything else, like Noah building the ark, you know, mm-hmm. And God rained on that church, filled up that pond out there. So they started planting around the church, but the pastor said, no. Said, don't all the Christians get in one spot over there. They invited the other people in, and he assigned plots around it. Sinner, saint, sinner, saint, sinner, saint, sinner, saint, sinner, saint. And their crops came up, and the church was the center of literal salvation from starvation in that area.
Wow.
And the government changed the rules and said, keep preaching your Bible, man.
It's
But when the growing season naturally quit, like it always did, the people of faith's plots kept producing crops in the off season. And the sinners said, how do we get that? They said, well, you have to have Jesus. He's the Lord of the harvest.
Yeah. That's happening today in Shreveport, Louisiana. Spiritual son of mine got oil in his backyard, oil at the church, and oil at his kids' house. And they're being paid six-figure salaries for the next 20 years of their lives.
Yeah.
And he was getting ready to sell that house. He don't know why he couldn't sell it. God had all back there. And isn't this amazing? And the people in the church found oil on their property.
My goodness. We're out of time. Wouldn't you like to hear more of this? We're going to start again Monday, and don't you dare miss it. Creflo and I'll be back in just a moment.
The Spirit of the living God will be moving in ways that you've only dreamed about up till now, and you'll be on your way to more wonderful and greater things. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. 2009. And the glory will shine.
The glory will shine in 2009. Come with a heart expecting to see the glory of God at the 2009 West Coast Believers Convention, June 29th to July 4th at the Long Beach Convention Center in Long Beach, California. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, and Keith Moore for 6 days together with believers from around the world. Come expecting an encounter with God. Super Kid Academy with Commander Kelly will also be held for children ages 6 through 12. To find out more, call 1-800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org.
Now, let me give you a Bible secret here. Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him or respond unto him that teaches in all good things. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life, or zoe, the life of God. I learned this years ago. You hear something like this all week long, and it's wonderful. I'm excited about it. But what do I do now? Pastors, preachers, listen to me. How do you get this into your spirit as your message? Not just Creflo's message, my message, Jerry Savelle's message, or anybody else. How do you do it? You respond to it by sowing something. Creflo, just a few days ago, I got an offering envelope with two little broken watches and a broken pen. Somebody searched everything they had. It was a seed. And I prayed over that thing, and the Lord said, they'll get it. They got it, man. They'll move with this thing. You release the life of God in the words in your spirit. Now, Father, we pray over this offering. Please reveal to your people what you would have them do. In Jesus' name, amen. Just obey the Lord. Whatever he tells you to do. If you live outside the United States, your offering stays right in the area where you are now. God bless you. This is Kenneth Copeland, Creflo Dollar. We'll see you next week. Until then, remember that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for watching The Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit kcm.org.